But welcome back. We're back with another podcast ahead of another wonderful couple of days racing. The From the Horse's Mouth team of Ruby Walsh, Paddy Power, and myself, Patrick Kennelly, are back to look ahead. And we're using our Christmas crystal ball on this occasion because we are operating before declaration. So hopefully we get it right in terms of the correct runners turn up and we'll move on from there. But Paddy, Ruby, thanks very much for joining us. Are you sick of me yet over Christmas?
Pretty sick, yeah. To be fair, I'm getting there, yeah.
I just can't wait for the emails to stop. I think surely PK will just knock off at some stage and well, the emails will stop coming.
I've delegated the emails to someone else.
Yeah.
And it's working anyway. Very, very well. It's working very, very well. Or he's actually taken over. I didn't even delegate. Lads, let's go through two great days of racing at Leopardstown. And we're going to start on the 28th with the Christmas Hurdle. It's due off at 1:45. I'm going to rattle through the current entries. We've got, at the moment, 15 horses entered for the race. So we just don't know who's going to run at the moment. But Abacadabra's Commander of Fleet, De Rasso, Flooring Porter. Be interesting to see him back. Gentleman's Game, Grand Walk, Classical Dream, Ruby Walsh, please tell us he's running. Mr. Judicator, Ronald Pump, Saldier, Sam's Profile, Sarda Burley, very interesting runner course, and Burning Victory, My Sister Sarah, and Royal Kahala. Okay, Ruby, I have to start with you. Please, can we see Classical Dream? We don't see him enough.
I'd say that's because he's just too fragile, PK. Yeah. No other reason. I'd say Joanne Coleman, I'd like to see him more. I'm sure Willie Wallins would like to run him more too, but he's just had plenty of issues. He seems to be in good form. I know we're happy enough for him, and the plan is for him to run unless all that rain doesn't come and Leopardstown turns up quick or something. But he seems to be in good nick. But look, the others have a benefit of a run over him. Abacadabra, I thought, was the interesting one going up to 3 miles. Did well to beat Buzz in entry last year, was third behind Honeysuckle in the Hatton's Grace. To me, looks like a horse crying out for a trip. And I thought Flooring Porter was going to win the Liz Mullen when he fell. So I think Classical Dream has to bring his A game and a bit with it. I don't think he's Punchestown run. I know Flooring Porter was behind him, but I don't think he turned up. He ran away before the start. The Punchestown run won't do. Classical Dream have to be better than that.
There was a big-ish gap between his run at April and December, wasn't there? Sorry, between his win at Punchestown, it was what, a year and a half, was it? In terms of...
What was it? December 19, yeah. Well, sure, look, he had COVID, obviously, as well.
Yeah.
But he got injured. Missed the rest of that season, was going to go chasing. COVID set in then. He didn't run in the spring of 2020. He got injured. And then he was back in training, was going to run, was supposed to run a novice chase at this meeting last year and was lame that morning, didn't run. And then didn't get him back on the track until Punchestown. I'd say it was jumping fences that actually put him wrong. Possibly was.
Really? So we're definitely not going to see more fences then. I'd say
he went lame and he went chasing, went schooling, jumping fences last year.
Okay.
Yeah.
Don't let him see any of those fences. Okay, fascinating to see if he turns up and how he gets on. But obviously, as you rightly said, there is recent form against him. Paddy, your thoughts on the Christmas Hurdle?
Yeah, I would be very keen on Classical Dream. I think just that was the first step up to 3 miles. That was the at Punchestown, absolutely hacked up. Now, I know there was like it's end of season Punchestown sometimes and things like that, but just I was visually really good. And that was after a break as well, like you said. So I'd be pretty confident that Classical Dream is a very, very good 3 miler.
And we'll win this race, the Christmas Hurdle. Okay, mm-hmm. Let's move on to the other feature on the 28th. It's also over 3 miles, but this one over the larger obstacles, the Savills Chase, 3 miles at Plutard at the time recording, 4-6 favourite for Henry Rommel. Galvin is 5-1, Delta Work 6-1, Kemboy, Janadil, 8s and 10s, Manel Indo surely won't run, Melon is 12-1, Franco de Port 33s, Battle Over Doyen 40s, Samco 40s, and then Asterion Falange and Tornado Flyer won't run, you'd assume, because they are going to post at Kempton. Okay, Paddy, go to you first.
So I think the more you think about Plutard, right, and you think back to everything Plutard has achieved so far, the more you kind of come to the conclusion that Plutard might actually be the superstar of the jumping game right now, because it's still on the up, only 7, hosed up to Betfair Chase as a child, hosed up in a Cheltenham handicap. Has been beaten by in the Gold Cup last year by Benel Endo, obviously, but you know, that could have gone either way. I think that Plutard is potentially still getting better, and I think Plutard is going to lap them. I think it's going to be very impressive here, and we're going to be going, Jesus, where did that come from?
Lap them. Ruby Walsh, your thoughts on the Savills?
Yeah, I don't disagree. The handicappers think he's still improving as well, because they've upped him from 169 In the Gold Cup to 174 now since he won in Haydock. I think the each way value could be Janadil, who stayed on really well in the John Durka, but that's only looking for something to finish second to a Plutar.
Fair enough. Two strong votes for Aplutar. Before I move on to the 29th, there's a couple of races. Well, there's a couple of horses I want to talk to Ruby about. Concertista is still entered for the Grade 2 Mares Novice Chase, the EBF Dawn Run Mares at Limerick on the 28th. Ruby, Concertista, what do you think of her chasing debut?
I was happy with it. She has her own way of jumping. She doesn't get overly high. She doesn't spend too long in the air. And she'll want to jump as well, if not a little better, at Limerick. If Ballyshannon Rose is over her fall at Punchestown behind Benilia, she could give Concertista a race.
Is that low and sharp? Is that basically perfect if you want to win a race, but also perfect if you want to get injured?
No, I wouldn't say injured, but no, I prefer low and sharp is very good at hurdles, but at fences, you'd like them to be a little bit higher.
Okay. I'm just thinking the aerodynamics of it in terms of, is it not, do you not get from one side to the other quicker, or do you just more?
Because if you're bringing your legs through the fences, they're slowing you down. You should be clearing them.
Fair enough. Okay, cool. We'll move on already to the 29th, unless there's anyone's got anything for the 28th before we move it.
The aerodynamics, PK, the drag of the fence, the brush hitting them, dragging you back.
Yeah, I'm thinking, I suppose, more like hurdles where they just kind of can knock them over, I guess, and it doesn't take a huge amount out of them. Okay. So Concertista maybe needs to give it a little bit more air to her fences. We'll see how she gets on. The 29th of December, we're looking at a few races at Leopardstown. We've also got a Grade 1 at Newbury. So we'll get Paddy Power's views on that. But let's start on the 145 at Leopardstown, the Neville Hotel's Novice Chase again at the time of recording. We don't know the declarations, but fingers crossed we get a good race at the time of recording. 130 Beacon Edge, your favourite, who rattled home late to win the Drinmore. 7-2 Run Wild Fred for Gordon Elliott. On the ropes for Willie Mullins in the Sheevey Park Silks is 4-1. 6-1 Mr. Incredible. Cape Gentleman is 7-1. Fury Road, 7s. Vanillier, 7s. Probably will run earlier in the week. 8-1 Ashdale Bob and 10-1 and Bigger the Rest. Okay, Ruby, the Neville Hotel's Novice, the 3-miler.
Yeah, I'm not certain about Beacon Edge. I thought Dennis O'Regan gave him a brilliant ride to win the Drinmore. I think he's opposable, and if Run Wild Fred runs, I think he'll serve it up to him. As far as I know, on the ropes, it's going to run. But I thought Run Wild Fred absolutely hosed up in the Triton, and I thought that was a rock solid performance. I think he could give it to Beacon Edge.
Here at Paddy Power, we want our gambling to be fun and encourage our customers to bet responsibly. That's why we offer a number of tools to help you stay in control, including the ability to set deposit limits, get reminders after a certain amount of time playing, and to take breaks. For more information, visit responsiblegaming.paddypower.com. 18plusbegambleaware.org.
Tell me, but also our listeners, the difference between for a novice winning the Troy Town and a Grade 1. Same trip, obviously, but very different types of races, yeah?
Yeah, the Triton, you'd imagine, would be slightly more competitive early in the race, as in trying to get a position in a handicap, bigger field. Everyone looking for a position. Grade 1 would be less runners. But that said, you would traditionally see a stronger gallop maintained throughout a Grade 1 than you would in a handicap. Handicappers have to slow down because they're not good enough to stay going at a stronger pace, whereas Grade 1 horses are. They will keep up the middle third of the race, will always be stronger in a Grade 1 than in a handicap. Or if the handicappers don't slow down, their final third is usually very weak. Whereas the Grade 1 horses are able to maintain it stronger the whole time.
Okay, but you like the way Run Wild Fred went through his race in that handicap back into novice company. Very interesting runner. Mr. Power?
Well, I think the Beacon Edge, we're going to have learned a bit more about the depth of his form by the time we get to the 29th, because there's a good few races happening over the previous couple of days where Beacon Edge has been involved, especially that Gabby Nacko Vanillier race, sure, the one on the 27th, is it? Anyway,
earlier
in the week, we will have a fair idea. That's a fair point about Run Wild Fred. I thought Beacon Edge is stepping up a trip, will probably keep improving. So I was going with Beacon Edge, but I'd be tempered by the strength of Ruby's Run Wild Fred opinion. So I'd probably change my mind.
You're a great man for changing your mind, Paddy.
Change your mind, you
know? No, you're allowed. Have you got a, like, whenever you're, you know, if you're in the pub or down the bookies and you say, I changed my mind, I'm going to back this one. And obviously you're told straight away, don't ever change your mind. Any recollection of it being like really good or really bad situation where you go, I cannot believe I'm after
changing. I'm pretty good at just making peace with it. Like, I kind of tend to not remember the bad ones. I always remember the good ones. So that's fine. So it's all good.
selective memory helps everyone. The 220 is the Matheson hurdle. It's the kind of the champion hurdle of the Christmas festival, so to speak, at Leopardstown. And Willie Mullins has got his Leopardstown stalwart Sharjah, even money favourite at the time recording with the Anti-Post book. Zanahir is 7-2. It's 7-1 for Quixilios. Of course, those two met plenty last year. Echoes in Rain is 7-1. How will she go? Can we get Echo's Reign in control? 8-1 Abacadabra, who probably will run in the 3 mile earlier in the week. 8-1 Saldier and Tio Pu, as well as Saint Wa, Petit Mouchard, Felix Deji, they're all entered for the race as well. Okay, Ruby Sharjah, what an absolute Leopardstown stalwart. What a legend of a horse.
Yeah, and I'd say I never tipped him in the race. Never think he's going to do it, yet he always seems to. Loves the inside track in Leopardstown. He's been in really good form. Obviously beat Zana here in the Morgiana. He's rock solid. He's just not honeysuckle, unfortunately. And he's definitely the one to beat. I'm not going to tell anyone to get stuck in Deco's Rain, but I wouldn't write her off on that 1-1 in Punchestown either. The race didn't really pan out for her. She was too keen, even her jumping, and she's improved a good bit at home for it, but she has to improve a lot.
Getting her to settle, Ruby. Now, this is the question, right? That's what it looks like is the main thing to me, in my eyes. Is there something you can do outside of the hood, or is there more you can do? I don't know. But...
No, just hope the opposition go faster.
Really? And that's a case of them, is there a pacemaker in there for her?
No, there's not, no. Just if they went no gallop in Portistan, so she was going slow and she was keen, whereas if they go faster, she'll settle down. And like anything, PK, with a couple of runs, freshness gone off her, things like that.
Okay, so don't give up on Echoes and Rain just yet. Paddy Power, your thoughts on the Matheson?
Yeah, funniest, but he's after annoying me again now, because I had the big red pen had come out for Echoes and Rain. Because remember, Frank had been talking about the champion hurdle, dark horse and all that kind of stuff. And then she was disappointing, obviously, in Punchestown, as Ruby said. But I thought that bearing that wasn't in my mind, I think Sharjah, this looks a really good opportunity, because Ruby said it before. I don't think I've ever backed Sharjah to win at Leopards, to win ever, actually, maybe a goal we heard or something. But I think that this race, it probably looks easier than it does most years. So I thought Sharjah is pretty solid.
He's a gas horse, isn't he? I'm just looking at his wins at Leopardstown, which he seems
to do.
But
there's no reason why you don't. He's self-sufficient second champion. There's no reason why you shouldn't respect him. Or
no, he's such a good horse. But I'm looking at the prices of his wins at Leopardstown. Yeah. It's not just you lads. It's everyone. You know, 11-2. The previous year, he won at 9-2. The previous year, he won at 6-1. You know, he's always a really backable price. But Sod's Law, he's going to be like odds on now, isn't he? On the 29th, he's going to get beat. Yeah. It's just the way things go. So watch out for Sharjah. Watch out for Echoes and Rain in the Matheson Hurdle on the 29th. Well, that's it, folks. That's Leopardstown covered for the 28th and the 29th. It only remains for Paddy and Ruby to give us a horse to watch out for, hopefully, on one of those days that does run one you're quite strong about, Paddy.
Yeah, I think I'm going to go with Classical Dream, because I'm kind of believing that. I think Classical Dream is one of those horses that was so good when it won the Supreme at Cheltenham. And things obviously didn't work out then thereafter. And, you know, looked so good at Punchestown last year. It's one of these horses I think has loads of ability, and I'd like to see the horse kind of get the chance to show, to achieve something in his career as much as he deserves. I'm not so sure he deserves, but you know the point I'm saying. He's been unlucky, I think, with setbacks and all that kind of stuff and gone over fence and everything. I think Classical Dream has an engine and is potentially very good, and I'd like to see him start showing some of that to us. So I think Classical Dream for me.
I think we all would. Ruby Walsh?
I think the Knapp is a Plutar, there's no doubt about it, but he's that price at 4-6 in the declarations. There'll be easier races. I think Gallop and Deschamp will run the beginner's chase on Tuesday. Obviously, he was a grade one winner last year. And the Mayor's Hurdle in Leopardstown on Wednesday. Obviously, you tell me something, girl, all those kind of mares in it, but Queensbrook is only a novice. She was good and she beat Ciel de Neige in Fairy House. But I always like she wears it well. She's been off the track a while, and she's definitely worth keeping an eye on. Will she be ready enough for Wednesday? I'm hoping so. But I do think she's a hell of a good filly.
That's in the 110 on the 29. She wears it well in the Advent Surety Irish EBF Mayor's Hurdle. It's a grade three. Thank you very much, gentlemen. That was a nice little rattle through the latter 2 days of Christmas. Don't forget to watch the Paddy Power racing quiz. It's about the only thing that Paddy Power have done in the last 4 years that Ruby Walsh isn't involved in. Ruby, where were you?
I was dad instead. It was fine.
Oh, right. Okay. Yeah.
Ruby, where was I? I was I double booked, unfortunately.
Oh,
what
dear.
Was I doing?
Oh, dear. Get that
I was
second.
Doing the HR, I was doing the horse race in Ireland Award. Sorry.
Doing your own dabbling and hosting again. Do you prefer the hosting?
Dabbling is right.
Do you like the hosting?
Well, the competition's not strong. I mean, very easy to take you on.
Yeah, I don't think I'm up for any HRI awards yet, Ruby, in terms of my hosting. But anyway, don't forget to watch that quiz. It is live on the Paddy Power social channels. We've also got, just to say, Merry Christmas. So if you're listening to this before Christmas, it's a big Merry Christmas to you. If you're listening to it after Christmas, it's a Happy New Year. And Ruby, Paddy, I do want to extend my own personal Merry Christmas and Happy New Year to you both. Ruby, I'll see you at Leverstown. Paddy, I'll see you at Leverstown. If we haven't seen enough of each other...
Likewise, PK.
Exactly. We give you a hard time, PK, but you know what?
We had a little WhatsApp chat beforehand, myself and Paddy. We said, you know, we've got to shed a bit of love here to PK. We've been picking on him too much. We have to make him feel part of the team.
You're just trying to... We're now accepting you as Tom's
replacement, so you're part of it now.
I mean, it's over a year since he's gone. Do we still need to?
It did, didn't it, Paddy? It took us a while to get into it.
It took us a while to warm into it,
Yeah.
Thanks, lads. I've enjoyed it. It's been great. I've really enjoyed it. I know, it's nice taking the piss out of you. Paddy Power obviously hates British racing, and Ruby Walsh is always grim and glum, and you know, it's good fun. It's great to be on the pod. Listen, I hope all our listeners had a really enjoyable time listening to the podcast. You can tweet me or tweet at Paddy Power if you've got any feedback for us. Happy to take it on board. Less Paddy Power. Something like that. I don't know. Whatever you fancy. More Ruby Walsh. Less PK. Absolutely. We'll take it all on board. But genuinely, have a great Christmas, folks. And we will be back with more podcasts, obviously, in the not too distant future. We'll see you on the other side.